Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning at Shari. It is Wednesday, June the 14th. We are learning Lilui Nishmas Miriam Front, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom, and Hashem Hashem Ali, and the merit of our Wiki Chabura, and like we always say, in the merit of striving to be better Ovdei Hashem, also Lilui Nishmas Rav Zalman Ben Rav Naftali, Zichrono Livracha. So your site is this evening. His neshama should have an aliyah, should be made to share for your entire family, for besoros tovus and simchas. Amen. Okay, so let me tell you what page we're on. Lunch page 59, okay, of the second sefer. Constant contemplation without distraction. Really speaking about Amunah, and of course the sixth parsha is parsha Shlach, and there's so much question of what was the sin of the spies. Was it really the Lashon Hara that they spoke, or was that only a manifestation of the sin? Was it a lacking of Amunah, which it certainly was? Was it an Ayin Ra, which it certainly was? So many factors come into fact, but one point is that if we lack Amunah, certainly, then we will rebel against Hashem. Here we go. Constant contemplation without distraction. Any fact one is internalizing, such as this fact that there is a creator, must be remembered all day, every half hour. And what we say in Rami Davin Shemon Esra, we say, Samach Dabra Avdacha Mehera Satzmiach V'karnar Tarm B'shusecha K'lishu'ascha Kivinu Kol Hayom U'matzipim L'shu'am. That's important. We don't say L'shu'ascha Kivinu Kol Yom, which means we wait every day, but rather Kol Hayom means every part of the day, at every moment we are waiting. So it's not that we're waiting for Yeshua today. We're waiting for Yeshua at every minute of the day. Every half hour you must stop for a few seconds. Call Hayom and say to yourself, I was created, there is one who created me, I was created, there is one who created me. More than that is not necessary. So it should be short, simple, and to the point. It should be the unifying thought that will connect the entire day. Gradually your mind will become accustomed to thinking about it. When you think about it, you will feel it. This is how we begin to instill the concept. So again, just because we know something in our minds, if we don't feel it, we don't see it. If we don't see it, we don't believe it. So with that, I'm not sure how much more of the safer we're going to get through today, because when I read this, I was created, there's one who's created me. I was created, there's one who's created me. It really reminded me of what Chazal teach us in Pirkei Avos. So we will talk a little bit about Chazal in Pirkei Avos now. This is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, chapter 3, Mishnah 1. Akavia ben Mehalala Omer. Akavia ben Mehalala would say, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein ata bali de'aveira. You should pay attention to three things and you will not come to sin. Dan, you probably, many of you are probably familiar with this Mishnah. Dam ayin basa, you should know where you have come from. Ul anata holech, you should know where you are going. V'lifnei mi ata asin litein din b'cheshvan, and before who you are going to give a din b'cheshvan. And I think I mentioned it here, and you really shouldn't talk about your personal avodas Hashem unless it's to be mechazik people, you know, for purposes of perhaps the to'alas. But I have started, when I'm able to contemplate that when I'm in the middle of doing something, I think to myself, okay, so when I get up to Shemayim, they're going to play this back on the video. And how am I going to feel when this is played back on the video? And it really helps me when I visualize that I'm going to be standing there before the Ribono Shel Olam and the Heavenly Tribunal. They're going to be showing me this action. It can really, it helps me either to motivate me to do something that I wasn't doing or to stop doing something that perhaps I wanted to do. Because when you really have that contemplation, I'm going to be very, very embarrassed beyond what human words can describe. If you really feel that, I'm not saying I feel it all the time. I'm not saying it works, probably way less than I want it to work, but it does work. Because if we really envision that, it's frightening. Me'ayin basa, me'tipa serucha. Where did you come from? From a putrid drop. Ul'an ataholeich, and where are you going? L'makam afar rima v'soleya, to a place of dust and worms and maggots. So where did we come from, this putrid drop? Where are we going? We're going to a place of dust. I'm going down to the ground. L'fnei mi'ata asin li din din v'cheshbon, l'fnei ma'ach ma'achayim nachim l'kosh baruchim. And I'm going to be giving a din v'cheshbon before the Ribono Shel Olam, and how will I feel when they play back my life? Not so good. Okay, so I want to quote a little bit from Rabbi Lau on Pirkei Avos. Does anyone have the sefer? It's very, very beautiful. Rav Lau, so Meir Lau, Shlita on Pirkei Avos, Yachis. So you have it?
I have a story, not Pirkei Avos. That looks very good.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's a three-volume set. Okay, it's the English of Yachis, so I'll put it up by Art School. It's a three-volume set. Chapter 1 and 2, 1 volume, 3, 4, 5, 6. Whatever, I recommend it. It's really, really nice, just if you're looking to buy yourself something. Okay, three things. So the three questions that Akavia ben Mehalala propounds are alluded to in the verse. There's a verse in Kohelet, Uzachar es Vore'acha, remember your creator. Zachar es Vore'acha, remember your creator. Except that Vore'acha in that verse, it's from Perek Yud Beis of Kohelet, is written with a Yud. Vore'acha is written with a Yud, and therefore it indicates that meaning should be read in the plural. There are a few things we should remember in regard to Vore'acha. So normally you would read this, remember your creator, the Bore Olam, the one who created us. Except that it implies we should remember a few things. What are these few things? Vore'acha has two other words embedded within it. One is Be'erecha, which is your wellspring from Be'er. Remember your wellspring. And the other one is Barcha, remember your pit. Remember your wellspring, and remember your pit, and remember your creator. So we're bringing down that even though it says remember your creator, because it has a yud in it before the end of chav, so then you say it means remember a few things. What should you remember? Your wellspring, your pit, and your creator. Three things. Okay. So Rabbi Lau brings down, he's quoting from Vayikra Rabba. So the Midrash teaches.
What's the pit?
So we're going to say what these three things are.
Okay.
So he's actually quoting from Vayikra Rabba and also Masechus Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay, so your wellspring, Be'erecha, is a reference to the fetid drop. You came from a wellspring, a fetid drop, a spring, the man and the woman, the father and the wife get together, and that spring gives birth to that putrid drop. Wow.
No, I'm just trying to figure out how to pronounce that word. I'm not sure.
Which word?
F-E-T-I-D.
Right? Oh.
Fetid.
If you're not sure, fetid. Then I'm really not sure.
Fetid. It's fetid.
So that's why I changed fetid. It to putrid. That I know how to say.
40.
Sure. You can Google it. It will come up on Google. Anyway, you don't have to do it right now, please. Okay, so the first thing is remember Bore'acha, your wellspring, where you came from. Be'ercha, no, Barcha, your pit, that's the place that you are going to. So your wellspring refers to Me'ayim Basa, from where you came from. Ola'anata Holeich, the pit. Lifnei mi atasi litein di v'chashbon, who will you give an accounting before Melech Machayim Lachim, before the Almighty King. However, I wanted to point something out, a different way of explaining this. When I think of a wellspring, I don't think of a putrid drop. What comes to mind?
Be'er Miriam.
What else? I think of the Torah. Yeah. If you think of a wellspring, I really think of Torah. Kamayan Hamiskaber, like a spring of water that's Izashing. You know what I have? I said, why am I so zochet to this tonight? This is bottled at the source. The source is Ramat HaGolan. Mima'ayan Slokia. Ma'aglad Me'ida. I was very excited. I said, I almost feel like I shouldn't drink it. I'm not rotly, not zocha to drink it. Be'ercha is your wellspring. I do not think of a putrid drop. So we're going to just give a different interpretation here. What should you remember? You should remember that Torah is your source. And if you remember, literally, Ein Ma'im Ela Torah, Maseches Vodazar, if you remember that Torah is your source, then also that will be motivation not to sin. Histaka b'shlosha dvarim. Look at three things. V'ein atabali dever. You will not come to sin. So if one of the things is uzichar es bore'echa, say Chazal in the Medrash, remember your bore'echa. And that is understood as be'ercha, your wellspring, be'er mayim, like you said, be'er mayim. So I don't think of it as a negative. I think of it as a positive. I should remember that Torah is water, Torah is a wellspring, and this will keep me away from sin. So I just want to tell you something. Last week, I heard a beautiful, beautiful vart. I never heard it. Sitting on my Torah Toshir by Rav Shai Shachter, and I heard him quote Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and it's such a geshmak var. Why is Torah compared to water? Since we're talking about the wellspring of water. I never thought, I always think why, because water sustains you. My daughter said tonight, she has a headache, she doesn't feel. I said, did you drink it? So I think I drank a half a bottle of water a whole day. I said, I'm sure that's why you're not feeling well. It's boiling. So I always think if water sustains you physically, which it does, you can't live without water. The Jews in the desert scream if there's no water, then Torah sustains you spiritually. But it's interesting, Chaim Kanievsky says, of all the things, Shlita, that Torah could be, you know, compared to honey, milk, water's so plain. Water doesn't have a taste. Water's just water. So why is Torah compared to water? Water is the only food that halachically you make a bracha if you want to drink it, but you don't make a bracha if you don't want to drink it. What does that mean? Let's say you're taking a pill, a Tylenol, and you happen to need 3/4 of a cup of water to swallow that pill. Let's say you need a lot of water to swallow the pill. What's wrong?
We just learned that today. We're learning brachos. The more we learn, the more we know we don't know anything. So do you make a bracha that you're taking something that tastes terrible into your mouth. No, you don't.
Okay.
Right, Simon?
You know, it's so weird. Yesterday in the Tehillim Shir, something I said, you said, oh, I just learned this with Rav Lam, remember?
Yeah, I got a lot of Shir.
Okay, so let's say you drink water to take a pill. You're not thirsty. You're not drinking the water because you're thirsty. You don't want the water. You can take the pill without water. You do not make a bracha. You only make a bracha on water if you want it. Unlike apple juice or orange juice, even if you don't want the apple juice or orange juice, it has taste, it has flavor, it has nutrients. Therefore, you make a bracha. Your body is somehow benefiting from it, even if you don't want it. So this is unbelievable. What does this have to do with Ein Mayim Ela Torah? The sages say there's nothing, water is Torah. So what does it mean? You have to want Torah to benefit from Torah. The highest level. Now, of course, if you sit in Torah and you're in a proper influence, your environment, you could chip away slowly, slowly. But even Rabbi Akiva saw that water and he said, if water can pierce a rock, Torah can pierce my heart. That's the point when he wanted it. I'm adding it on there. Shachar didn't say that in the Shir. But Eimayim El Torah, we make a bracha in the morning on Torah. And in fact, as I'll say, one of the reasons Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is because the people did not make the bracha lasok b'divrei Torah with kavana. Because they didn't make the bracha with kavana, the whole Yerushalayim was destroyed. That's why we're in mourning. But it means they didn't want the Torah. Not making a bracha indicates you don't want the water. Therefore, you're not deriving benefit from the water. So too, you have to want to drink the waters of Torah to ultimately benefit. And it's true, if you take somebody who's Rachman Litzlan, not interested, and especially very challenging generation in which we live, a terribly challenging generation, and there are people who... You're so cute. There are those of us who are not even interested in the first place. So we're not even talking about making the bracha. We're at the point where we don't even want it. So Ein Mayim Ela Torah, you benefit, you make a bracha because you want to drink the waters of Torah. So I thought it was extremely, extremely profound. Okay, any questions or comments?
By the way, you make the bracha on the Torah. You make it in the morning as far as the
Birkos HaShachar. Correct, as far as Birkos
HaShachar. If somebody sits down to learn, they don't really make a bracha.
Because that bracha in the morning covers them for the day. That's the day. That's the bracha from the day. So I'll tell you something interesting because you brought that up. It's about Birkas HaTorah. Should I say something else? Okay. So as part of Birkas HaShachar in the morning, we say, Va'arevna Hashem Elkein Esther Ve'Sarascha B'Fino P'Yosamcha Be'Sa. What does it mean?
Make it sweet.
The Torah talking about water, interesting, because when the water was bitter, back in the book of Shemos, Moshe threw in a stick and it became sweet, and then they were able to drink. We want Torah to be sweet, not only plain. It should be exciting for us. It should be sweet. We should feel that manish the geshmak, not only of the learning, especially we're women, of the living of Torah. So, we say va'arevna, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, please let it be sweet for us. Ayin, resh, vase is to be sweet. But it also means something else.
To be mixed.
Oh, to mix, okay. So how would you explain that in terms of Birkas HaShachar? Like Erev Rav, the great mixture, Lahavdil. They didn't really want the Torah, but yeah. So how would you apply that here? I'm not tricking you. I'm asking a serious question because I didn't think of that.
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Maybe Torah should unify us?
One mix of permission.
That Torah is not just on one level. It's for everybody. From the person, the simplest.
The carpenter. To the God, the Hadar.
Yeah, so I'm saying, right, the carpet, anybody. I mean, look at Rabbi Akiva.
So it represents the mix of Jews? Represents the mix of Jews who can reach Torah on their own level? Okay, right, that's the beauty. I forget which God I said spoke about, the goddess of Rashi. The first grader reads Rashi and understands it on his level. And the God of Adar learns Rashi and understands it on a totally different level. It's the same words of Rashi, but it speaks to everybody differently on their own level. Okay, Arev also means Arev, Maseches Aruvin, actually, 13b. Call Yisrael.
Arevim
Zev. Is that there's machlokas between... That's what you said? Well, did you say it and I didn't hear you, or you didn't say it out loud? Said it quietly. Then I for sure didn't hear you. Then there's no chance, Risa. Okay? Okay, so next time speak up. So the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have a long machlokas, and then we go according to Beis Hillel because there are no chalim ve'aluvin. They're pleasant and they're softer. they give precedence to the words of Beis Shammai before their words, and then the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael Revim Ze B'Ze, all Israel are guarantors for one another, or interdependent upon one another. So I was thinking when I, V'arevna Hashem Elkeinu Estevei Sarascha M'fios Estevei Sarascha B'fino V'yos Amcha Beis, so not only should Torah be sweet to us, but we should be guarantors for your Torah, Hashem, so to speak. We should be the proper ambassadors for Torah. And then we make room and Hashem wants to be let in. If you make room for me, if you're the guarantor the way I'm supposed to be the guarantor, then I'm come in. And furthermore, we should be guarantors through Torah for one another. Okay. So how did we get there? Because we have to want Torah, Birkas HaShachar. Right. Okay, fine. Anything else? Okay, so these correspond to the first two questions. Going back to what Rav Lau explains, Be'ercha, your wellspring, is the putrid drop that you came from. Barcha, your pit, is the place where you are going. And finally, Bara'echa, your creator, is that video that they are going to play back to you after 120 years. Now this is also interesting. And Hashem's first recorded comment to Avraham Avinu. The first thing we know, what was the first thing Hashem told Avraham Avinu? That we know of, that's recorded in the Torah. First pasuk I learned in Chumash. Okay. So, Bereishis Perikid Beis. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Lecha ma'artzcham v'latcham beis avicha al'artzo sharecha. Go for yourself from your home, ma'artzcha from your land, from your father's house, from your birthplace to the land that I will show you. So, Lech lecha means for your benefit and your good. That's what Rashi says, L'tovascha u'lehanascha, go for your benefit and your good. So Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu the message to all of us. Leave your birthplace, moladitcha, remember where you came from, that putrid drop. Lecha, he's going out of order here, but moladitcha is literally your place of birth, the place of conception. Remember, when you want to sin, what exactly you are? Artzecha, leave your land. Artzecha refers to the land where you are going, Admei Vesum Shana, where you will end up. And finally, mi beis avicha then is referring to which part of the Mishnah? Who's our true Av? Hashem. Beis avicha, in the end, you're going to Shifti beveis Hashem. You're going to the house of Hashem. So when I was preparing this, I thought something interesting. Hashem told Avram Avinu, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'uladecha beis avicha. Furthermore, by the Akedah, he also said lech lecha. It means go for yourself. Lech means go, lecha means for yourself. Fulfill my command. Avram went as God told him. He went to the land of Canaan. He went to the top of Mount Moriah. He went for himself. And Avram Avinu reached the pinnacle of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, so to speak, a father of the Umi Yisraelis. So I was thinking with this week's Parsha in mind, why did Hashem tell Moshe when he sent the scouts?
What did he tell?
No one saying anything? You're shy? You don't want to say? I can't hear? Someone said quiet? Okay, fine. So Hashem said to Moshe, you come on, you know this lady, Shlach lecha anashim v'yasuru es eretz Canaan. Send for yourself men to scout the land of Canaan that I am giving you, one man for a tribe, for father's household, then a list the names of the men. So I was thinking, why was Avraham Avinu successful and Moshe's mission here was really a failure? This is really a Hasidic style of work, okay? Lech lecha, Avraham was told to go for himself. Shlach lecha is send someone else to do the job for you. If you want to be successful in your Avodas Hashem, you need to plod forward one foot at a time. You have to go for yourself. If you send somebody else, if you send an emissary, there is nothing that can compare to you walking the land, to you putting one foot in front of another, from the age of 75 to the age of 175, working so hard to ascend in your avodah Hashem. Lech lecha is a success. Shlach lecha is a dismal failure. And in fact, Rachman al Islan, it was a failure.
But Hashem was talking to Moshe. He wasn't banned yet, by the way.
Okay, that's
himself.
This is in year two.
Okay.
He's banned in Parshas Chukas, which is in year 40.
Right. Mm-hmm. Avraham was alone. He actually was the only one. They were actually, being Makarev, whoever they saw around. When he was leaving a land, he was leaving a decadent land where his father was king of Avodah Zarah. So he was worried about his own
Okay,
self.
That's why I said it's a Hasidic Shtavr. Where Hasidim Misaprim, what they'll do is they'll pick up on a phrase and they'll pick up another phrase
right.
And they'll look at it a little bit out of context and they'll say, what do we learn from these two terms,
true.
Where one was a success and one was a failure?
and not to belabor this, but...
I feel like I can't drink this, but I need water.
Aren't there certain times, like certain mitzvahs where you're supposed to have a shaliach?
Yes,
or
you're right.
Shaliach manos and
Adam kavoso, yes. Like mishloach manos, yeah. Shalach manos, yes. Mm. To have a messenger for yourself. Where would that fit in?
The people he chose, the Meraglim.
If what?
The biggest tzaddikim of the Torah. In other words, the Meraglim were...
Yeah, so Nebuch. So what should we say?
Derelicts, he sent.
You're right.
He sent the leaders.
So the Zohar says that one of the reasons that they didn't want, that they turned the people against Eretz Yisrael, the Zohar brings down, I forgot where I saw this last week, it could have been Rabbi Biederman. The Zohar says that because they enjoyed great positions of prominence in the desert, they were the leaders, and they didn't want to give that up.
Wow.
It was a bit of gaiva involved here. Oh, right? Again, I'm not starting to nitpick. Because they're spreading out to a huge territory, and every sheva gets his own land, and there's going to be shoftim v'shochim titein lecha b'chal sharach, there's going to be judges and officers, there's going to be the beis din, there's going to be the beis hamikdash, it's going to be Sanhedrin, it's going to be a whole different system of living. Again, I prefaced it by saying it's a chassid shtavar, because that's very much chassid misapim, that's what they will do. They'll take two phrases that are similar but different, and then they will bring you a chassidish style vor. So I'm not looking at exactly the context. And by the way, we know about the Meraglim. Hashem said this is not a good idea. That's why Shlach Lecha. God said if you want to send them, fine. But I'm telling you not to send them. So you can't say Avram was commanded and Moshe wasn't commanded. Because Lamaisa Moshe really wasn't commanded. It was on his own. Shlach Lecha and Hashem, you think it's a good idea. But again, Chassidus Tavor, Lech Lecha, we have to march forward in our Avodas Hashem. So Ali Sheva also brings up an interesting question. How would we reconcile that wish, Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, a man's messenger is like the person himself, in regard to Mishloach Manos, to say it's nicer to have a messenger deliver the Mishloach Manos for you. Perhaps that's because enhancing, here we go, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, interaction between man and fellow man. But Lech Lecha is for your own Bein Adam L'Atzmo. And Bein Adam L'Atzmo, between man and himself, is the foundation of all other areas of service. Lech Lecha, you got to march for yourself to build yourself up as a person. When you build yourself up as a person, you're able to branch out into Bein Adam L'Makom, service between me and God, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, service between man and fellow man. Okay, I'm going to make a brach on this very halig water. I'm very excited. Mamish, unbelievable.
To get you.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
I don't know how he brought it back.
I'm so excited. It's delicious.
I know.
All right, let's go. Let's go. No, we're not going back to Sefer yet. I told you we're talking about the Mishnah tonight. Oh, furthermore, Rav Shmelka Horowitz of Nicholsburg, I don't think we're related to him, one of the early Hasidic masters, found another allusion to this Mishnah in Chumash. So this one I actually want to share with you, because this directly touches upon Parsha Shlach with Intar Parsha. First of all, when Paro summoned the Jewish midwives, he told them, Rav Shmelka Horowitz of Nicholsburg touches upon Uri Isam, look, okay? The Mishnah says, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim. Look at three things. So again, so you see that's chassid shetavur. The Mishnah says histakel. Histakel means look. Three times in the Chumash it says reisim. Reisim also means look. You understand? So we can't be so nitpicking in this style varf. Uri Isam, look, occurs three times in Chumash as part of a command. When Paro summoned the Jewish midwives, he said to them, Uri Isam al ha'avyanim. When you see, look, Uri Isam, when you see the Jewish woman giving birth on the birthing stool. The second time is when Moshe sent the spies to the land of Canaan, and he said to them, Uri Isam et ha'aretz mahi. Uri Isam, you should see the land. What is it? And finally, also in this week's parsha, in regard to tzitzis, the pasuk says, Uri Isam also. Uzchartem eskol mitzvot Hashem. You should see them. Remember all the mitzvot of Hashem. So three times it says, Uri Isam, you shall see. You with me? One is you should see upon the birthing stool. One is you should see the land. And one is you should see the mitzvot. Remember Hashem. Well, that exactly parallels the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Da me'ayim basa. Where did you come from? Which Uri Isam is that? Uri Isam al ha'avyanim. When you see the baby emerging on the birthing stool, that child was created from two putrid drops, says the Mishnah. So that Uri Isam refers to the birth. Uri Isam al ha'avyanim. You should see it on the birthing stool. Uri Isam as ha'aretz mahi. Look at the land to remember where you are going. You know, they say, but Baron Rothschild, who was a Chassid Baal Tzedakah, very wealthy, that anytime he would feel stirrings of Baal Gaiva, he had a room in his home, and people did not know what was in that room, and no one was allowed to go into that room except to him. What was in that room? A coffin. And every time he felt stirrings of gaiva and he thought he was too great for himself, he would go lay in that coffin. So Yisam es ha'aretz, see the land, know what it is. And finally, Yisam also is hard to miscall mitzvah Hashem. The final Yisam reminds us of who? La'ana taholech, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why are you ladies smiling? You don't like that story?
It's creepy.
You don't like that he's lying.
So it's very interesting because Tosfos actually tells us, talking about lying in a coffin, Tosfos actually tells us, unbelievably powerful Tosfos on the Gemara, that the people who was decreed upon them death in the Midbar, how did they die exactly? Ready? Let's talk about sobering. Every ninth of Av. I would have brought it in, actually, if I wanted to teach it. Every ninth of Av, this is Mamish, I wish I would have brought it in, but I didn't think of it when I was preparing. Those who were part of the Dor HaMidbar, who were condemned to death for crying over how bad the land is, would dig their own graves. And in the morning, some would get up, that meant they had another year, and some would die, and that meant that their time was over. And the last year, when the Gezeirah was over, so they dug the graves and everybody came up. So they thought that they miscalculated the dates, like how could everybody come up? They dug it again, so they realized the Gezeirah must be over. So talking about digging your own graves, so La'ana Taholech, you have to know that that's where we are all going. It's not something we necessarily like to contemplate or that we don't like to think about. That is where we are all going. Okay? 1 second. I also wanted to tell you a couple more things from Rav Lau. The Mishnah speaks... Any questions or comments? The Mishnah speaks in the past, present, and future tenses. Where did you come from? Me'ayim basa. That's in the... past. Where did you come from? Ula ana ta holech. Cool, I just saw something. Lech lecha holech. You have to be making sure that you are always moving forward. Ula ana ta holech is where are you going? And the future is before whom you will give an accounting. However, it seems the second clause is also in the future. It should be past, present, future. Where did you come from? Where are you right now? And where are you going to? But that's not what it says. Me'ayim basa, where did you come from? That's the past. Ula ana taholeich, is that the present or is that the future? Lefnei mi ata asid litein divi cheshbon, you're going up to the heavenly tribunal. That's where I'm going. So how do we understand this middle clause? Death, writes Rabbi Lau, is not a one-time experience. The day of death is from the day of one's birth, Kohelis tells us. The day of death begins at birth. And our sages echo this sentiment. With a person's birth, he is destined to die, says Medrash Kohelis. So, you know, sometimes it's funny, I'll tell you. I don't think I ever said this in public, and it's going a while, you tour, but fine. Sometimes, like once a week, if I'm lucky, I do my exercise DVD. V'nishmartem al d'nafsho seichem, I have to stay healthy. So if I have quick time, so I'll do the DVD. So it's hard. So then I tell myself, if it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be beneficial. That's like life in general. So then sometimes I say to myself, I'm dying. Well, this is a true story. I'm having a conversation with myself. So then I say, I'm not really dying. And then I say, well, I really am dying, but I'm not dying at this very minute from the DVD. No, it's really, I never said that to anybody. And I'm going to put it online, but it's true. When I say I'm dying, first I say, no, I'm really not dying. But then I say, no, Michal, you really are dying. But not at this minute from this DVD. Be'ezus Hashem, amei ve'esrim, hopefully, with longevity. Longevity?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a productive life. But we are all really dying. Living means dying. Our lives are like sand in an hourglass, says Rabbi Lau, running out. Right? It runs out. In addition... every moment, what did he say?
Oh, no, I was making a reference to a soap opera.
Yeah. Lots of soap opera. Days of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it? What about it?
It just has no sand.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
And that's the opening of the soap opera. Like, they turn it upside down. Like sand in an hourglass, these are the days of our lives. It's very dramatic.
Okay, so I did not open up. I did not know I was opening up such a can of worms. And I am 1,000% sure Rav Lau is not referring to that when he writes, our lives are like the sand of an hourglass running out of time. Okay, they probably took it from him. I'm just joking. I'll have the Alfayev does. In addition, ladies, come on. Ladies, let's go. In addition, every moment that is not used to acquire eternal life, listen to this, every moment of finite life that is not used to acquire eternal life is not life. Every moment of finite life that is not used to acquire eternal life lacks life. Mm. This is why the stages say, Medrash Tanchuma, Rishaim afil b'chayehim nikra'im chayim. Wicked ones, even in life, are called dead because they're going through the motions of being... Oh, sorry, that's tzaddikim. Mesim. Because even though they're physically alive, there's such a spiritual lack that it is like they are dead. In this regard, a story is told about a righteous individual. It's a very powerful story that Rav Lau brings down, who, learning about a city of certain pious individuals, there's a whole city of pious individuals, decided he might want to live there. He traveled to the city. Upon reaching the outskirts, he went to the cemetery. He wished to see the titles with which people honored their deceased relatives. He wanted to see what they considered important in this town. You know, is this one the rich man, or is this one the tzaddik? Is this one the mayor, or is this one the Talmid Chacham? So he went to see the ta'arim that are on top of the graves, the accolades that they pay. He looked at the tombstones. Listen to this. He was shocked, I'm quoting Rav Lau, to discover the people of the town died young, often Rahman's son in childhood and youth. Some reached the age of 30 or 40. Very few attained the age of 50. He decided he would never move to such a terrible place. He, you know, took back the idea. He thought he wants to live here. He doesn't want to live here anymore. Since evening had fallen, however, he realized he had to spend the night there. When he entered the city, he went to Shul. He found it was filled with people learning Torah, saying Tehillim, and attending the rabbi's Torah lecture. So they're learning Chumash at night, they're saying Tehillim at night, all things we're not supposed to do at night, they're doing. No one was chattering idly, no one's gossiping, this week's parsha, no one's engaged in coarse laughter, Moshe of Leitzim, there is no Moshe of Leitzim. To his surprise, he saw people of all ages, including elderly men with long white beards, so he doesn't understand what's going on. The tombstones say everybody dies young, Arichos Yamim is 50 years, but he sees people in Shul, they look like nice tzaddikim and with old age. He spoke with the townspeople, and he asked them, you know, what's going on here? There seems to be a contradiction between what the town looks like and the tombstones. When a child was born, this is what they explained to him. He's given a blank book in this town. When a child is born, they give the family a blank book to use as a diary. As soon as the child himself could write, he starts to record. By the way, I think that this is a mashal, but it's very powerful. He would record his good deeds, how much time the good deeds took to accomplish, and he would continue this procedure throughout his life. Upon death, the burial society took that book where he recorded the minutes of his day. They have minutes in court, right, where they recorded the minutes of his day. They added up the exact amount of time he had spent dedicated to Torah, Tefillah, Chasan, Ma'isim, Tovim, Avodas Hashem. It was that amount of time that was the number that was put for the years on the headstone, regardless of how long that person actually physically lived, because only that time truly represents a person's life. One more thing I want to quote, and then if we have time, we will go back to the Sefer. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
That was very good.
What?
That was very good.
Very powerful. I'm sure it's a mashal, but it's very powerful. Okay? Very.
The Chavetz Chaim is very, very dismal themed sheer. Coffins and all dark.
Very, what did you say?
Very dark. Dark. Dismal.
But first of all, it's Mishnah, it's Torah. Right. That's actually number one.
It's actually the opposite. It's telling you that if you live your life.
Perhaps we're saying it's dark because it's things that we don't necessarily like to contemplate. Right. But I think that it's very important. Chazal call our attention to these matters because if we chalila go through life without serious contemplation of what we're talking about tonight, then at the end of the day, we're going to find ourselves in very big trouble. And it is the learning of perhaps difficult topics, sobering is a better word, that make us stop and take stock. Lachacha, I have a tavkid to plod forward, as difficult as it may be, and to try and make every minute count in my avodas Hashem. And the only way to internalize that is to learn about it and then apply it in life. And what did someone else want to say? Yes.
There's an expression that absolutely sets my teeth on edge, and the expression is killing time. My husband uses it, and I don't tell him that it irritates me, but when I hear him use it...
You get a big scar.
I hate it. Because you can have downtime where things are moving slower, and maybe there is time to do something that there wasn't before, but killing time? Ooh. It's a horrible expression.
You're right.
I agree.
Rav Pam Zatzal would say, time is life. There is no loss like the loss of time. And that's really what the Mishnah is trying to reiterate to us. And I think it's very profoundly related in a Hasidish way, style of or, to Avraham Avinu's Lech Lecha, which was a tremendous resounding success, to Moshe Rabbeinu's Shlach Lecha, which unfortunately was a dismal failure. Very nice. I'll tell you something about Nancy. She said, I don't have the source in front of me, so I can't tell you the exact words. But on Mishle, Pia Pascha Bechachma Vesoris Chesed Alashon Eishes Chayel, that we sing Friday night, is from Mishle chapter 31. The closing words are Mishle of Shlomo HaMelech's tribute, Pia Pascha Bechachma Vesoris Chesed Alashon. So one of the speakers on Shavuos spoke on Chesed. So this is unbelievable because you just said you keep your mouth closed in regard to that aspect of Shalom Bayis, which is tremendously commendable. So I forget which of the Mefarshim on Mishle it is. Again, I don't have the source in front of me. But it explains, Pia Pascha Bechachma, Petoris Chesed Alashon, her mouth is open with wisdom and kindness is on her tongue. This refers to the wife who is insulted or slighted by her husband and does not answer back. I'm not saying he slights you. I'm saying you're not answering back. That's what reminds me. It's an unbelievable perush on the Eishes Chaya. Okay, one more thing. Anything else? At the end, you're with me? You could hear? Okay. It's a little late to be asking you that, but I figured if you couldn't, you would have told me. Okay. One more ha'ara from Rabbi Lau before we close tonight's shiur. Okay. It's an interesting lashon. You won't come to the hands of sin. Why can't it just tell me ve'ein ataba la'aveira? You won't come to do the sin. What is the terminology here? Contemplate three things, which I believe we have expounded upon and spoken about. And again, I don't want anyone to leave here, Khalil, and think it was a dark shir, please. And we had a terrible misunderstanding. Nobody, none of us. It should be enlightening and empowering. It's a difficult avoda, but we should have the awareness of what our avoda is as we march forward, as did Avraham Avinu. So what does it mean, liyadei aveira, the hands of sin? Should just say, you won't come to do aveiros. In Hebrew, Rabbi Lau says, the word for hands, yadayim is hands. Yad is one, yadayim is two. Yidei aveira also means handles. Do you know that? I didn't know that. I'm asking you. Okay, handles. Sin is stored, so to speak, in a container whose handles are corrupt personality traits. So imagine for yourself a container. Think of a pot. And the handles are your corrupt midos, such as ego and lust. Those are the examples that he gives. And sin is stored in that container for you. It brought to mind the Meraglim as well, because I already quoted the Zohar, who says that it was their ego that motivated them to sin. They didn't want this new existence in Eretz Yisrael. They enjoyed their positions of prominence in the desert. It was very nice for them. The more pronounced the handles are, the more prone he is to come to the hands of sin. It's almost like those handles will draw him in. When a person does not possess those handles, he will not come to sin. Medrash Shmuel offers a different explanation, and this will be our ending. Medrash Shmuel offers a different explanation. When a person truly repents, this is going to lead to one more. Okay. When a person truly repents, even if sin stretches out its hand to grasp him, he will be able to withstand. He will be able to withdraw. Liyadei aveira. Aveira is going to come after you with its tentacles. This is even a little bit more powerful. But if you've truly done teshuvah, then you won't be able to be overcome by the handles of sin. The Rambam tells us, he quotes Hilchos Tshuva, but we know that the Rambam tells us Maimonides. Perfect teshuva is when a person is in the exact same matzav and does not sin again. It's not enough to say, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin. But what happens, says the Rambam, when you're in the situation, do you sin or don't you sin? So with that, I want to end with one final thought on the Meraglim. And it really teaches us that perfect repentance is, we won't come to the handle of sin, but it has to be ultimate teshuva. The Meraglim, what don't they want to do? They don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hello? They don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. So God says,
okay,
you won't go to Eretz Yisrael. So what's the punishment?
The reward.
What?
The punishment is the reward.
Okay, so sometimes, by the way, we learn from that, sometimes what you wish for, when you get it, you realize you should never have wished for it in the first place. It was the worst thing in the world. That's why we always daven, Yimal Hashem Mishal Slebeinu Letova. God should answer our prayers for good. Because ultimately, we don't know what's for good. Sometimes you wish and you wish and it comes upon you and you say, this is a disaster. But the Meraglim say, they seem to repent. They don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Moshe says, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Then they all start crying, oy, we're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Vayishkimu baboker, they wake up in the morning. Vayalu al Rosh Ahar, they ascend to the top of the mountain. Lemor, hinenu ve'alinu. Behold, we are going up, al hamakom, to the place. So isn't this teshuva? Asher amar Hashem ki chatanu, where God said we sinned. We're going to the place that God said, comma, because we sinned. Listen to the pasuk. Vayashkimu, they woke up in the morning, they went to the top of the mountain, saying, behold, we are going up to the place that God said, comma, ki chatanu. So then, but then their ascent is struck down, they're killed. But didn't they do teshuva? Why didn't God accept this? Is teshuva not rectifying the sin? So Chassidim Misaprim, and I saw this brought down in Sefer Parashat Torah, under Chassidim Misaprim, actually, a beautiful var. Read the pasuk differently. Why wasn't there teshuva accepted? Because there's a difference in saying, listen to the two things. I'm really sorry for what I did. It was truly wrong. I will try and be better the next time. Versus, I'm sorry you were insulted by what I said. The first one is, I'm sorry. The second one is, you have a problem, therefore I'm going to apologize. Vayashkimu baboker, they wake up in the morning. Vayalu al Rosh Ahar, they ascend to the top of the mountain. Lemor, hinenu va'alinu al amakom. Behold, we are ready to go up to the place, comma. Asher amar Hashem kichatanu. Because God said we sinned. What's the difference? I don't feel I sinned. I didn't do anything wrong. I have no reason to repent in my life, Ribbono Shel Olam. If you think I sinned, then fine. I don't want to be in trouble with the boss. There's a totally different approach. And that's why Chassidim Misaprim, this teshuva, was not accepted. It was not sincere. We must always be sincere in our Avodas Hashem. We must always put one foot in front of the other ourselves to make the foundation of Ben Adam L'Atzma. We always have to remember from where we came from to where we are going, and in the future they will play back the video recording. Rachmana Litzlan, how will I feel when I see it? If you keep these three things in mind, the Kavi Ben Mahalal says, you will not come to the handles of sin. So Ezra Shem should continue to be successful. Thank you, ladies.